Our subject this morning is entitled, Our Hope. And in relation to that, I've asked that we read Revelation 21, and we'll look at the first five verses. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. This is really the culmination of our hope. What we hope for, what we look for, especially from a natural standpoint, is incorporated in these verses. When we look at our hope, it starts at the very beginning. Genesis opens with mankind's fall, our transgression. But it doesn't stop there. It begins with our fall, but also our promise, our great hope of reconciliation, which we look at Genesis 3:15. It talks about the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, the troubles that the seed of the woman would face, but the ultimate triumph and the crushing of the head of the seed of the serpent. It gives us hope. And when we look at Genesis, it continues. After the fall in the garden, we're introduced with the man Abraham, and because of his faith, great promises were given to Abraham, and these provided further details concerning the promised seed of the woman, and form the foundation of many of the expositions of our hope found throughout the Scripture. Let's look at Genesis 12, the first three verses there. Very familiar, speaking of the promises made to Abraham. It says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We can also look in Genesis chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, a further elaboration on these promises. Should be Genesis 15 through 18, where God says, And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come again hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And when it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, And to thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Further details of the seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham are given to David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. The prophet told David, And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, who I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. These three blessings form the fundamental categories to which all our hopes and references regarding those can be really sorted. Now, it's impossible to separate these categories entirely, as they are each fundamentally related to each other. And when we look at these, and this will be our focus this morning, it's not so much to separate them into different buckets, but to examine them from the broad idea and never lose sight that these are our hopes. And our hopes are expressed within those three items. Genesis 3:15, really Genesis 12:1 through 3, and 2 Samuel 7:12 through 16. The fundamental blessings and that God has given to us. So we'll start at the beginning. We'll start with Genesis 3:16. The things concerning the crushing of the seed of the serpent and the glorious manifestation of God, which necessitates our salvation. These relate to our hope and God's salvation in the most general of terms. We're told that there are two separate groups of individuals. The one would have the ascendancy over the other. Now, when we look at these, since these are the most general, once again, we could probably use these same references when we look or we talk about the promises made to Abraham or the promises made to David relating to the Messiah. But, you know, they work together. We can look in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. And when we look at this, we see that the purpose of the seed of the woman is to glorify God. And in these verses, we are told the character of God. When Moses asked to see God, to see his power and his glory, this is what God revealed unto Moses. It wasn't a description of some, you know, glorious presence or some stupendous form. But the main details were given refer to the characteristics of God, those things which we can and we need to reflect in our lives. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Look at these things. These are characteristics we must be developing in our lives, things we must be showing. The great rest and rectification that God has planned, we see it in Leviticus. In Leviticus 25, 8 through 13, we're given details about the Jubilee, the great time when in Israel, natural Israel, all the servants were set free. The land reverted to its original condition, symbolic of the great hope that we all hope to be a part of, that we expect to see, when man will be loosed in his ultimate sense from sin and death, and the cursings and the troubles brought upon the world will be no more. It will revert to the very good state to which it was created. We can look in Leviticus 26, verses 3 through 13. We see the divine blessings for obedience. Once again, these were specific to Israel if they were obedient to God, but we see in them a greater hope, a greater blessing for those who remain faithful to God. Those things which were expressed in the minor, in the here and now for natural Israel, we expect to see a greater blessing if we remain faithful. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 10, once again, we see blessings for the obedience. Same blessings are reiterated by Joshua. Once again, we're not looking at these in particular. These were blessings for the natural, plenty of food in store, you know, long life, success over one's enemies. These were things that Israel would see naturally, but when we think about the typical aspects of them, what does food represent? What does drink represent? What is victory? Who is our enemy? You know, who are we striving to have victory over? And we see those things if we maintain our faith as Israel was commanded to do, those things would be attributed to us as well. Once again, Joshua 23:6-10, Joshua blesses Israel in a very similar manner to Moses did at the end of his life, as the people went to inherit their portion. Deborah makes reference to these in her song upon the victory of God over the armies of Sisera and the Gentiles invading nations, which are recorded in Judges 5:19-21. Hannah offers a prayer to which expresses her understanding of God's promises. Let's look at this one. At 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we see the great hope that those who believe and fear the Lord have. In 1 Samuel 2, the first 10 verses. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." At the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8, verses 56 through 61, we see further examples of the blessing. Let's look at this. 1 Kings 8. I'm having problems with first and second books today. 1 Kings 8, 56. "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that there is, or that the Lord is God and there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." We can look in 1 Chronicles 16:23-35, which is a psalm thanksgiving, to see further references to the blessing and the hope we have. Nehemiah spoke about this hope in Nehemiah 8, verses 9 through 12. He exhorts the people. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord." When they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Is not this our attitude when we understand the great hope given unto us? We may feel repentance and sorrow for the condition we find ourselves in, for the sins we commit, but we see the great hope that the Lord has given us, the great blessings that are presented to us if we maintain our steadfastness. In Job 19:25-27, Job speaks of his hope and his expectation of resurrection, even though he was currently in a very pitiful and a very sorrowful aspect. His hope was not tied to his present condition. He was not overcome by grief because of his troubles and his sorrows, but he realized that whatever would or may happen to him here and now, he had the hope of a resurrection, to see God again in the flesh. And that was his hope, and that is the same hope that is presented to us. We can look in Psalm 149, verses 4 through 9, to see the elevation of the saints. Well, in our life right now, we may have some of the same troubles which Job had. That's not the end. We see the end, which is expressed here. Verses 4 through 9. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." We can look in Proverbs, in chapter 31, verses 25 through 31. We see the excellence of the saints as related and the virtuous woman. Those characteristics that virtuous woman expresses should be incorporated within the saints. In Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, we see the hope of the judgment. While we may grow old and our natural forces abate, that's not the end for us. We have a hope of resurrection and judgment. The book of Song of Solomon portrays the love of Christ to his brethren, the great love that he expresses as a reflection of God's love towards us. I mean, as we see a tender song of love between a beloved and his spouse, we read that and see that is the same love that God and Christ have for us. And it should fill us with hope. Isaiah in chapter 55, speaks of the blessings and the call that God has given to each of us. Isaiah 55, the first three verses. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And skipping down to verses 12 through 13. "For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We can also look in Ezekiel 66, verses 22 through 24, which gives examples of the glories of the kingdom. In the book of Lamentation, a book written about the sorrows experienced at Judah's defeat and subjugation of the Babylonians, there's still a view of hope, the hope of God's retribution against the wicked. If you're making notes, examine Lamentations 3, verses 64 through 66. There was a hope that even though they were abased, God would vindicate the nation. In Ezekiel 43, we see a vision of hope, the vision of God's return, this glory of God returning into the temple that will be established at his kingdom. And think of how much of a hope that would have given to Ezekiel himself, who had seen in vision the glory of God departing the original temple, God forsaking his people because of their wickedness. And yet he saw that in the future age, that glory would return, that he would have we would take joy in his people once again. Verses familiar to us from Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. In Daniel's exposition to Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of his dream, he lays the foundation for what we hope and what we await for even today. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Daniel also saw the ultimate victory of God's kingdom in his vision of the beast in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Referring to the Ancient of Days, or to Christ. We see our personal hope in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where we read, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteous as the stars forever and ever." In the type of Jonah, we see a symbol of our hope. And we could read Jonah's prayer in chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Which was a deliverance from death for those who trust in God. Nahum, in chapter 1, the first 8 verses, speak of God's vengeance against his enemies and his protection of his saints. Habakkuk, chapter 3, 17 through 19, salvation of God is given for the faithful. The same we see in Haggai, chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, the judgment of God against the wicked and the elevation and salvation of the righteous. We see also in the closing of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3 and in chapter 4, words of strength and words of hope for the faithful. If we look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through chapter 4, verse 3, you read, "Them, they that feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Such is the basis of our hope. We also see this further in type with the salvation of Israel. And much is said in the scripture concerning this. The salvation offered to us is conditional to our association to the seed of Abraham through Christ. We're all familiar with Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. The hope of inheriting the land is extended to us only through the promises made to Abraham, and through him these claims, and only through him can these claims be made. We look at this in Exodus 15, 13 through 18 in the Song of Moses, the great hope of the land. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 2 and 3, and we see the blessing of Moses to the people before they went into the land, and how tightly the hope of the promises to Abraham were incorporated within this. Deuteronomy 33, verses 2 through 3, and then 26 through 29. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose from Seir unto them, and shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of his saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words." And now verses 26 through 29. "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fount of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." In 1 Kings 3, 11 through 13 and 10, 49, or 4 through 9, we see an example of this with the exaltation of Israel under Solomon. We see that there was no nation like unto them. And like, as most things in Scripture, what is true of natural Israel is but a foreshadowing, is symbolic of what will happen to spiritual Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 19, we see Israel and the nation of Judah in a precarious situation as Sennacherib has invaded and has surrounded the kingdom or in the city of Jerusalem. And, you know, it's a serious situation. Yet God sends a message to King Hezekiah of their safety and their deliverance. And as such, we see this as a sign for us, typical of the safety God has promised us. 2 Kings 19, 21 through 22. "This is a word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel." And continuing in verses 33 and 34. "By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. We see the protection of the Lord promised to Israel, to Judah, to Jerusalem, symbolical of the great promise and hope of salvation to spiritual Israel. We see in 2 Chronicles 20:17 God's salvation for Jehoshaphat when he was threatened by a very large host that naturally they could not defeat, but their trust was in God, and through him he saved his land. He saved their promised inheritance. In Ezra 6:11-12, we see God's salvation as worked through the kingdoms of man and through those who he has set up. We see Darius's decree for the Jews and his support for the inhabitant and dwelling and rebuilding of the land of Israel. Once again, in Isaiah, we see the elevation and the future glories of Zion and the resulting peace in the earth. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Further, in Isaiah 11:10-16, we read of the salvation promised to Israel. And in Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 18 through 23. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace thereof, or the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. See the hope of Israel's restoration. In Jeremiah, in the next couple chapters, in chapter 33, verses 15 through 26, we read of God's everlasting covenant with his people. Jeremiah 33:15-26. And in those days, and at that time, will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow forth or grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offering and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy upon them. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 20 through 28 speaks of this restoration under the hand of the Messiah, under the hand of Jesus. The minor prophets are full of verses relating to the restoration and salvation of Israel. Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, and chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 speak of the restoration of Israel. Hosea 14, 4 through 9 speak of the repentance and thus the success of Israel in the latter days. Joel 2 and through chapter 3 speak of the redemption of Israel and the establishment of the kingdom. Amos chapter 9 verses 11 through 15 also speaks of the restoration of Israel. We'll take a look at this one. Amos chapter 9 verses 11 through 15. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his tents, and I will build it as in the days of old. And they that possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. In that day, that is the day for which we hope, the day we are longing to see. Obadiah speaks of the same thing, verses 18 through 21, with the destruction of Israel's enemies and the elevation of Israel. Micah 4, 1 through 7 has a similar message, the elevation of Israel and the establishment of the kingdom. And also Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. Where we read, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in that time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." And we know that this job and this responsibility will be given to our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. The previous blessings are only possible because of the life and death of Jesus. The suffering and elevation of Jesus were the subjects of the inspired writers of all ages. And while we focus on the elevation of Jesus in these, we recognize that it was only possible due to the things that he suffered. His elevation was only possible because he suffered first. We can look at Numbers 24, verses 17 through 19, in the prophecy of Balaam. We see Christ mentioned. Numbers 24. 17 through 19. I see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Thou shalt come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter that shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession of his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy them, or destroy him that remaineth of the city. Moses spoke of Christ in Deuteronomy 18:18-19, when he told the people to look for a prophet like unto himself, to whom God would speak. In Ruth 4:4-15, Naomi's blessings indicate the hope of a Redeemer that would come from the line of Judah and would be from Ruth herself. We can look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, the first 7 verses, where we see a prophecy of David. It's recorded here that these were the last words of David. So think about the importance that these would be, the last words that David would record, how important they must have been to him, who was a man after God's own heart. Verses 1 through 7. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as a light of a morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall utterly burned with fire in the same place. David's last words and last thoughts were on his promised son, the Messiah, that would fulfill all things. Esther 10, we see the mighty works of Mordecai, who was very much a type of Christ in his elevation and his salvation of his people, his brethren. Psalm 2, 4-12 is familiar of the ruling Christ as king over the earth. Isaiah 11, 1-9, we see the justice of Jesus' reign and the peace resulting on the earth. Jeremiah 23:5-8 speaks of the restoration of Israel under the hand of Messiah. We can look in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9-14, certainly a vision to which we hope to see and be a part of, dealing with the kingdoms of men being turned over to Christ. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9-14. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which a horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. the great hope we share. Zechariah 9:9 through 11 also speaks of the salvation of Israel by Jesus. And we also see the same thing committed in Zechariah chapter 14. As we consider these things, these are but a token of the verses. And for each one that we mentioned here, we could probably think of more. I would like to close with returning to Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We read these earlier, but I would like to look at them again. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. The day is coming, and it is this time that we await, for which we hope. This day will bring about the end to all the cares and trouble of this day and age. When we look at the verses, each of the verses I mentioned, or actually, through all the verses I mentioned, incorporates each and every chapter, or each and every book of the Old Testament. And we could do the same with the New Testament, maybe I will at another time. But we look at it, this hope, our hope, is not just found in certain aspects, but throughout the entire Bible. There's not an inspired group of words that God gave that did not tie into this hope and to our great and precious promises. So, as we consider this, when we read the Scripture, let's be uplifted. Let's let our hearts be strengthened by what we see, that we may continue in well-doing until the day when our hope is hope no more, but our faith is turned to sight, when that day is a reality. So, let's continue in well-doing as we await for that day. We'll move into our memorial service with the singing of the memorial hymn, which is hymn 99. Ride on in majesty, hark all the tribes Hosanna cry. O Savior meek, pursue thy road with palms and scattered garments strode. Hymn 99. Our exhortation this morning focused on our hope, the things to which we look forward to. These were the same things that Christ looked forward to, the same hope that he had. We are told in Hebrews 12, the first three verses, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Hebrews 11, which is referenced in the first verse of 12, that great compass, or that great cloud of witnesses, lists individuals of faith who were convicted in the promises we consider. And as we see in those verses, Jesus excelled them all. And it's to him that we look. His convictions in the promises of God allowed him to overcome the trials and temptations he faced. We're given a look into the 3.5 years of his ministry, but for all 33 years of his life, he was faced with the same trials and temptations that we face, and yet he was victorious. The greatest of these trials was that of his death, and these were prophesied of as well. We can look to Isaiah 53, to which Isaiah speaks of the suffering servant, the things that Christ would suffer, his rejection and how he would be despised by the rulers of his country. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 7, those last words of David that we wrote, he wrote that the man who would eventually be victorious would be filled with a shaft of a spear. You know, speaking in type of the piercing of Christ's side as he was crucified to verify that he was dead, but he was filled literally with that shaft of a spear as he hung on the crucifixion stake. These were things that Christ knew, Christ expected as he went about his life and his mission of fulfilling God's promises. However, he looked past the suffering to the great hope promised him. And as through the strength he gained from them, he was able to conquer his sin nature and confirm his life a pattern pleasing to the Father. As our example, he left us tokens to help follow him and to follow in his footsteps. And he requested that we do this in remembrance of him as we await his return. And in these tokens, the bread and the wine, we see examples of his life. In the bread, we see unleavened. We see it without the tainting of the sinful leavening of personal transgressions. He was unleavened. And yet, it's broken. It was broken to the will of the Father. Anything that the Father required, Jesus submitted to. Oftentimes, a great pain and suffering to himself, great distress, and great denial of self. And yet, it was through those things he was made perfect. And it is through the symbol of wine we see the ultimate symbol of that. A life poured out to that of the Father. We know that the wine is a symbol of the blood. Jesus literally poured out his life on the crucifixion stake. But it was also, and that was the greatest example, and it was absolutely fundamental, but it was also through his life that he poured out his will, his self, to that of the Father. He dedicated his life as a living sacrifice to the commands of the Father, which was culminated in his sacrifice and Golgotha. And as we partake of these emblems, we remember his life, we remember his death, and as we consider the same hope that he had, may we look to his life and may we follow his example so that at his return we would be found acceptable to serve in his kingdom and partake of these new with him. Let us turn to Mark chapter 14 and read verses 22 through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." With these, let's stand and we'll call on Brother Dom to offer prayer for the bread.
Our great and glorious Heavenly Father, all honor and glory be unto you, and blessed be your high and your most holy name. Father, we thank you now for this bread that you have set forth before us. For Father, we realize that this bread symbolizes the body of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who allowed himself to be crucified that we might live. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this bread, that you will strengthen us by it, and that you will allow your Son to soon return to this earth and set up that great and glorious kingdom which shall never be destroyed. For at that day, we hope and pray to find a small part therein. Be with those, our brothers and sisters, who are unable to be with us here this morning, whether they be sick or needy in any way, shape, or form. suit a blessing unto their needs, heal them of their infirmities, and return them to our midst. And be with those, our brothers and sisters, who are traveling back to us. Be with them, keep them safe along their journeys, and bring them home safely as well. All these things we pray and ask, and through his name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We'll stand and call on Brother Paul Jenkins to give thanks for the wine.
About like fiber optics and different stuff. I wanted to do wood carving. I was talking about cutting glass, and I was talking with the technicians on this, and one guy's like, "And why aren't you a technician?" And I was like, "Because I heard you have to have a school, and like they only take people that have gone to school for you." He's like, "No, there's entry level. They train you." And I'm like, "Really?"
I mean, you like hands-on,
I said, but "Do they do part?" I said, "Do they do part-time?" And they're like, "Yeah."
You've been around it enough to know the basics.
They won't train me for pyrotech though if I'm part time.
But they can train you for AV tech.
Yeah, which I can pick up then with you guys. I don't know how much they teach you because like the stuff at Disney, you don't really set up stuff. You just push buttons.
Well, Ashley, she said she was talking to you about this, but she was telling me yesterday. She's like, I stayed after with Raphael and Garrett the other day, and she's like, we were talking about Candace. She was saying something like Raphael felt like you got the short end of the stick, and I was like, huh. So we were talking about that a little bit, and I was like, you know, Raphael was the absolute meanest one to her. And she goes, well, he defended her the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, it would have been nice if he had done that
when I was there.
But see, you know what? Same thing with Garrett, because Garrett's already acknowledged it too. Like, they were both defending you, and they were bad about it. And I'm like, because they did not see how hard what you guys had to learn was until they came into the office.
But then I also had appreciation when I went to the warehouse too, and I think I was like, you guys, you know, like, I didn't get that appreciation either. So it works both ways, reality. And I mean, I might have enjoyed it more if I had been on a better relationship with them.
You had a harder time understanding what they did. Yeah.
Because I was stressing, like, because I knew that they thought I should be up there, so then that's made me work worse.
Yeah, they both realized, like, after seeing how hard Ashley has to struggle to learn stuff, that's normal.
Yeah.
They're starting
or maybe it's just because Ashley and I have a problem with...
You guys have similar challenges. That's
so maybe, like, it would be better if somebody, you know, but we're not hands-on either. That's another challenge. Because until I was hands-on...
I didn't feel like, the same with you as with her, I didn't feel like learning the technical stuff was really the problem.
Really?
Because
it was more just I stressed out about...
Like, for you, like, handling stress really wasn't really...
Yeah, like, they're expecting...
The relationship with her was really ultimately what caused it at the end of the day. And that was, a lot of it was just, it was them as much as it was you.
Just going to
figure. Because you get to a point where everybody's, like, nobody's happy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just it. That's just it.
But that's
like
also
with her, she's getting along with him fine right now, so that's helping her.
But I'm hoping, like, if I do learn EV, maybe I can go on shows with you guys if they appreciate, like, if their mindset's different.
They're gonna have to see that you know what you're doing.
Right. But I mean, if I go out there and I just start off with the basics, like, you know, if I'm already working, I wouldn't do that until I'm working at Disney.
Right.
For a while.
You feel
confident.
Like you know what you know exactly what you're up to.
But I was talking about like fiber optics stuff, and I was like, I don't know how to program lights, but I really want to learn.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You may never get an apology from those guys for the way that they do it. I'm like, just so you know, what they're saying now is totally different.
Yeah.
Was that going there?
Yeah. I just realized
it's totally different from what they said before, and it's just like,
It's not even that I need an apology. It's just when I come into the warehouse or whatever, treat me like it. I don't want to. Like, I can look past it, you know, like, I can get past that. We just work, and we start new, fresh. But I think there was still that, even when I first started in the warehouse, that, like, there's something there.
Those two were still the worst, and now, like, they're both, like,
but now it's getting better. Hopefully,
the younger guys may never realize it, because they can't see the side, and that's
I don't know if that goes to Luke in the box.
And it's recording. No, it's stopped.
It's recorded.